You found a property, you identified a market, an off-market property yourself, and you're just kind of following up. You don't want to be like too aggressive and keep bothering them, but I would put a phone call. If you get in touch with that person, say, hey, I'm a very serious investor in an area. I'm very interested in buying your mobile park or your storage facility. And if the person is not comfortable or they don't want to sell right now, great. Just say, hey, how about you just take my contact information? And if you ever decide to sell in the next couple of years.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Anton Ivanov is a U.S. Navy veteran, real estate investor, and entrepreneur with a 40-unit rental portfolio spread out across four states. His portfolio generates over $12,000 in monthly passive income and requires less than 1 hour a week to manage. Anton is also the founder of two popular real estate software platforms, RentCast and DealCheck. RentCast is a platform that helps real estate investors and property managers grow, track, and optimize their rental portfolios by giving them access to nationwide rental data. Anton, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Pleasure's all mine. Same three questions I ask everyone who comes on the show. Can you quickly tell us, where did you start, where are you now, and how did you get there?
Absolutely. So my wife and I started real estate investing about 8 years now, and we started fairly small with actually house hacking a duplex was the very first property we bought. Didn't know much about real estate at the time, thought it was a good mix between buying a property for us to live in, as well as, getting some income on the side, and eventually became fully rented and generates great cash flow. So it was our first foray into investing. We liked what we saw. We really saw the potential of real estate as a wealth generation, but also passive cash flow, mechanism that's pretty unique as compared to stocks or something else. So we wanted to scale up. We lived in San Diego at the time. So it's a tough market to invest in rental properties. Prices are really high. Rents are higher, but just returns are not there. So we started looking out of state. We first actually bought a few single family turnkey properties in Atlanta and Birmingham, just to give us some confidence, as out of state investors, build our portfolio a little bit. And they turned out good. I have no regrets. It was a great learning experience. And more recently, we decided, we're comfortable with this. So let's go ahead and focus on a single market. And we picked Kansas City for kind of different reasons after looking at a bunch of, popular markets across the country. So we focused on Kansas City and went a little more traditional route there, which is, in my opinion, kind of building your local team, looking for primarily off-market value add opportunities. And at the same time, we also kind of shifted away from single family to multifamily and commercial, just because our goal was always to get to about 50 units or so total. And that would kind of meet our cash flow goals that we set for ourselves. So multifamily is just a more efficient way, in my opinion, to buy. So we transitioned to that. And over the last few years, really increased our acquisition pace. And now we're at 40 total rental units that, like you said, generate about 12,000 to 14,000 monthly cash flow. It's very passive for us. We use property management companies to do all the daily work. So I'd say it's been great. In short, we're well on our way to the 50 unit goal we originally set. So maybe we'll even go a little past that, or just, look at early retirement and enjoying all that cash flow.
Man, that's fantastic. I love that. I really love to dig in more of your story on, how you have acquired these units, not living in Kansas City, how you vet them, how do you, if you're doing off market value add, just walk us through that process.
Absolutely. So I'd say definitely the number one key, other than market research, which is obviously important and how we ended up in Kansas City, but once we did, working on building local connections and our local boots on the ground, if you will, network was absolutely essential. You're right. We don't live there. I have been there quite a few times initially just to understand the city. I've never lived there, before we started investing there. So I wanted to learn, drive around. So I've done a few trips like that. They were very helpful. I stayed for like 2 or 3 days each time and literally rented a car, drove through all these neighborhoods we were considering just to get, you know, there's one thing you can read online, ask people, look at crime stats or rental trends, but it's completely different when you actually drive there, see the buildings, tour some buildings, get a totally different impression sometimes than what you thought the area would be, for the good or for the bad. So that was very important, as well as building our team. So I actually prefer to build my network through referrals. And I always recommend folks, you know, if you're new to a city or, you know, just real estate in general, the first people I try to connect with are local investors, not agents, not property managers, but local investors. Bigger Pockets is obviously a great place for that online, or, you know, maybe you have some friends or somebody can point you in the right direction, but meet other investors like we did, and then ask them for recommendations. I just feel that that worked for us much better than me just going to Google and typing in Kansas City property managers, right? So we really focused on building our team, learning the market. That process took about 6 to 8 months, I would say, before I even started looking at the market, at the MLS or adding property. So we had a property manager. We actually had a couple of property managers lined up. I had a great broker and a couple agents under him that I was working with. We had insurance. We had, you know, contractors and kind of rehab teams ready to go. So I basically had the whole pipeline set up in terms of what I thought we would need and the folks we needed to work with. And that was absolutely important because I wasn't really stressed when we started looking at properties and we needed, you know, contractors or we needed insurance. It was already all set. And not only that, but it kind of established us as serious investors. A lot of times, you know, I talk to agents and they work with out-of-state clients. And sometimes they're kind of wishy-washy. They don't, you know, yeah, I think I want to invest in Kansas City, but I'm also looking at Atlanta or other markets. I don't know. And all the agents I've and brokers I've kind of talked with, especially the ones that have off-market deals, because I'll tell you what, we got a couple of these multifamily properties in Kansas City off-market just through broker and agent connections. You know, they had a client that wanted to sell relatively quickly. They didn't want to list, so they just sent out an email to us, say, hey, I know you guys are really serious. You're looking for property. I have this client that wants to sell. Can we work out a deal? Now, obviously, I wasn't their only client. So you establishing yourself as a serious investor, that you have capital, that you're interested in buying now, can go a long way to putting you up in that list. So if they do have, you know, certain properties that a property manager knows are being sold, or an agent or a broker knows are being sold, it can just give you that edge a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's an extra step that I think a lot of us maybe miss, right? In that you think you need to get some traction in a market before agents may pay attention to you or take you as a serious buyer. But I think you've just given the blueprint for how to be taken seriously.
Exactly. If you're always, you know, first, if you flew out there and you met them, right, they kind of know that face-to-face connection. If you email them, phone call, you know, calling them on the phone every couple weeks, every week, or at least once a month, saying, say, hey, I'm still looking. Do you have any properties? You just kind of bump yourself up in that list, because they may have 10, 20, I don't know, a big brokerage may have, you know, dozens of out-of-state clients just saying, hey, can you put me on your distribution list? Can you put me on your mailing list? So when they get a property, they're probably going to go to a person they feel is the most serious, that's actually going to close, is not going to be like, oh, you know, I changed my mind. So I absolutely agree with you. You know, establish yourself as a serious investor, establish yourself as an investor who has capital to deploy right now, and you just increase your chances of them contacting you first, because they know that you're going to actually close on this property.
Man, I love that. Let's talk about a strategy that is, how do I say this? It's becoming less popular, and yet you have found a way to make it work, and that's direct mail. Talk to us about your direct mail, and just talk to us about your whole system there, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So I'll be pretty brief about it. Now, I'll preface this that I did write a more in-depth post, and we can hopefully put a link in the show notes for this that outlines this whole strategy. If you guys don't get the, you know, the full gist, and it actually has the exact templates I used and everything. So we'll put that in the show notes. But if not, just shoot me an email at anton@rentcast.io in case, you know, it doesn't make it, and I'll be happy to link you there. But basically, you're right. Direct mail is getting a bad rap, and I just think it's so overly used, especially, you know, against investors. So when you're an investor, I get, I don't know, two or three a week at least, you know, those same postcards or a letter. They're all the same. It's like, hey, call me. Sometimes they don't even have a property address on them. It amazes me how, like, sloppy, I guess, they are. So, you know, we own 40 units. I get a postcard, say, call me, I'll buy your property. It doesn't even say what property and what state, you know, nothing. They go right in the garbage. So most people approach direct mail on a very large scale. They say, you know what, I'm going to go get some list of absentee or, you know, other owners. Maybe I'll get a few thousand, sometimes tens of thousands of addresses. I'm going to go online, pay a few hundred dollars to some service that's going to blanket email them a postcard, right? That's your standard direct mail. And I've heard varying response rates to those, but they're like 1% or less sometimes. And probably it works for some people, right? And I can't speak for those because I've never done it in that scale. So I looked at that system and I said, you know what, there's got to be a better way to do it. So we did it completely differently. My wife and I, what we did is we actually went to the city, you know, to Kansas City where we wanted to buy properties. And we were looking for multifamily or commercial buildings. And a lot of times they're built like together by blocks, right? And this may be Kansas City specific, but I've seen this in a few cities, right? You go in and there's like a block of multifamily, like maybe fourplexes. A developer came in, built like, you know, 20 of them or something. It was zoned specifically for them. They may have some amenities. So it's kind of, sometimes it was actually easy to identify these little pockets. And a lot of times there were very standard buildings, clearly built around the same time by the same builder, probably using the same floor plan. I found a lot of Midwest, especially cities, to do that, like in the last like few decades. So I check, you know, I can't guarantee that every city is going to have this situation, but we were able to go to Kansas City and actually drive around and find a few of these pockets of maybe like 100 or so, 80 or 100 buildings, right, that were very similar. I believe we actually toured a couple of them because they were for sale at the time. So we kind of saw the floor plan. We saw what their general construction time frame, like when they were built, what materials they used. So I had a pretty good idea of what we were looking at. We came back. We went on Google Maps. We actually, you know, looked up all of these addresses by hand. I made a spreadsheet. It was all manual, you know, so it was a little bit of work. Because, you know, you can just click on the house on Google Maps, right? It gives you the address directly. So I put them on the spreadsheet. It was not a lot, again, about 80 to 100. Then we went on the county property records, the local county assessor's website. And I believe you can do this for most counties in the United States. You just, you know, look up the county, search the tax records. It should have the owner info. Probably not every county does this, but I imagine most of them. So I actually got owners' names and sometimes the phone number is listed right there, but at least the mailing address. And I, you know, filled it into my spreadsheet, and that basically became our targeted list. It was very specific multifamily in very specific areas that we knew well in that market. And I already had owner's name and contact info. It was like a couple hours of work, no services used. And then what we did is we made a letter by hand on my printer right there in the, you know, in our little office to each offer. And it was a one-page letter. And again, I have the exact template that you can actually use, just kind of fill in your own information in there. But it was for address to the person, you know, with their name if we knew it, or like the LLC or whatever. It had the exact address. We actually put a photo of each property onto the letter that we got from Google Street View, right? Because when you're doing about 80 or 100, it doesn't take that much work. You just, you know, kind of screen capture. You can do it on your computer. We put it in the letter. And we put our terms, which, you know, the terms for us was like no agents. And we actually set as is condition, which were definitely bonuses. I think the terms you can play around with, whatever you're comfortable with. Some people will not be comfortable with as is condition, but some people want to buy cash. We actually weren't buying cash, believe it or not. So I you know, we didn't put that there because we wanted to use financing right off the bat. But when you put this whole thing together, it read like a personal letter. You know, it had your property on there. It had your exact address, your name, very specific terms. We even put a little intro about ourselves that, hey, we're local, we're serious investors. This is not a mass distribution, as clearly it wasn't. We said, we specifically want to buy your property. So I just felt like it really stood out among like the little postcards or, you know, blanket template letters you get. It was a very personalized letter. And then we just put them in envelopes that, again, we just did at home, throw a stamp on there and send it off. And that was it. And I probably didn't expect like too much. I expected a few phone calls or emails or stuff like that. But we actually had about 15 to 20% response rate on that first campaign, which is like huge for direct mail. I've never even heard of it. And again, this was highly targeted, very small, you know, only 100 properties. So, and I wouldn't do this on a large scale either. I think the reason why the response rate was so high and we got such good feedback was because it was so small and so targeted. So long story short, you know, there was some negotiation, obviously. Not everybody who called worked out. Some people wanted too much, or, you know, you have to work with them on the price or time frames or other terms. But we ended up closing on, I believe it was a total of 4 properties over the course of like 6 months or so, 4 multifamily properties, you know, great buildings. We still own them. We got them at a great price. It was definitely discounted off market value as opposed to if we bought it on the MLS, because it was, you know, it was last couple of years were pretty hot years for real estate. It was appreciating and Kansas City was no exception. So I was super happy with this campaign. We actually did it twice, about same results, just different properties. And I've heard a few folks doing something similar in other cities, and they had similar results that I know of in terms of response rate and feedback. So I know this works. And I guess, you know, if, you know, my recommendation would be, if you're looking at direct mail, this approach won't work for everybody, right? It's some caveats. Like, you have to know the market well. You do need, you know, we actually drove around, we identified specific properties. So if you're not willing to kind of do that, if you just say, oh, you know what, I'm going to send 10,000 absentee owners, like this isn't the approach. But if you're looking, if you're serious about a market, you're especially looking at multifamily commercial properties, so you're targeting investors, not like individual home buyers, and you're just having that hard time finding deals on the MLS, like it is probably in most cities right now in the United States, I'd say give this a try. You know, put in the effort, check out my guide. I have like step-by-step, look at that template, and again, adapt it to your market. Maybe try it on single family homes. I'm sure it can work equally well. Maybe you have to modify a few things. I think it's a great way to do direct mail. If I was to do it again, this is the way to do it. Not like those yellow postcard, like mass mailing services.
Yeah, I mean, your points there are valid in that, you know, the yellow postcard, I mean, that's just kind of worn out. It's worn. I mean, I'm with you. I get them every week, and you know, I don't even pay attention. They just go in the garbage.
So. And especially we're not, you know, we're talking about multifamily commercial investing, right? So we're investors. So you're buying a property from another investor. Maybe for homeowners, you know, it's kind of a novelty thing, like, hey, somebody wants to buy my house, kind of cool. But investors, you're kind of conditioned against that. And especially if it's poorly, I get sometimes like wrong name, like, you know, like still like wrongly personalized, like no property address. Yeah. So if you're targeting multifamily or commercial properties, that means you're working with other investors, buying from other investors. You need to have a different approach, because they'll see through the BS, you know, they know what you're doing because they've probably done it or they've heard of it. So you have to break through that.
And I know you said, I think you said you printed these out, or did you handwrite these?
We printed them out, but we hand signed them. So I put like a few like touches, like I put our contact, like my phone number by hand. So we made a template. It was like a Word document. It was pretty quick, right? It's just a Word document. You slap in like the name, address, personalize a little bit, put in the photo. Then we printed them. And then I put a few, like hand touches by hand. It was just quite a lot to do by hand. I'm not like the best. I don't have the best handwriting. So I didn't want to just sit there writing 100 letters. But sure, if you want to go a step closer, you have that nice calligraphy, you know, handwriting, you can try by hand.
Right. No, handwriting's out on this side of the table. That's for sure.
Yeah.
no one would be able to read it. But I like that. It's going that extra step. I was reading something here recently, somebody in the mobile home park space that was saying the same thing. It's like, who do you think is going to win? the guy that's out there, you know, door knocking, that's actually going to owners' homes and saying, hey, I'm an actual buyer, I'd like to buy your house, or the guy that's sending out 10,000 yellow postcards saying, well, you know, he goes, I'm going to beat you every day. I'm going to be the guy closing on these deals, not you.
And well, you know what? And you bring up kind of an interesting thought. So we did this for kind of smaller multifamily properties, right? So it was, I guess, still some scale to it. If you're, I know you do a lot of more industrial and storage units, right? And mobile home parks, which are, there's even less of them, right? So you can probably go and find a mobile home park, like one, literally, and say, you know what, I really want to buy this. And I think you can even make, you know, an even more personalized and a detailed packet and come up with some sort of even a follow-up campaign, you know, where you send an initial letter. Maybe you find the owner's phone number and just give them a, you know, a friendly phone call. Not one of those like robots that say like press 5 or something for, you know, to sell your property. But no, actually, and I know a few folks that did this. A lot of times you can like Google, you know, use some service to find the phone number, even Google a person's address and name, and maybe they have a business or something like that. And yeah, absolutely. If you're targeting just a handful of properties, you know, an industrial, a storage complex, maybe you only have one or two in the city that you've found, you just drove by and you really want to buy, I think this could work great. It's not really even like, I would say, direct mail at that point. It's because that kind of has a larger scale annotation. You're just, you know, you found a property, you identified a market, an off-market property yourself, and you're just kind of following up. You know, you don't want to be like too aggressive and keep bothering them, but I would, you know, put a phone call. If you get in touch with that person, say, hey, you know, I'm a very serious investor in an area. You know, I'm very interested in buying your mobile park or your storage facility. And if the person is not comfortable or they don't want to sell right now, great. Just say, hey, how about you just take my contact information? And if you ever decide to sell in the next couple of years, give me a call. We'll work out a deal. So I think that's another great strategy that can work.
100%. Before we run out of time, I want to hear a little bit about RentCast and DealCheck. Can you walk us through both of those platforms, why you created them, and what they do specifically?
Absolutely, Sam. So I very, very quickly, they both kind of play a part in your due diligence before doing these direct mails or before buying any other property any other way. So obviously, you guys probably all should know it's very important to do your, you know, cash flow analysis and your research, project your returns, look at if this property is actually going to be profitable before you're buying it. Otherwise, as an investor, there's no point in buying it, obviously. So I've been very successful with two platforms we have. The first one is RentCast. You can check it out at rentcast.io. And RentCast is kind of our data platform. It has access to nationwide rental data, and it's able to help you project very accurate rent estimates for mostly residential, but also apartments, multifamily buildings. So if you want to know what can a property rent for, RentCast will give you a rent estimate, a rent estimate range. It'll show you the exact rental comps for that specific property and property type in the area. And it also has a wealth of market data information like average rents, rent trends, you know, kind of market composition, like what property types are more relevant. So if you want to research a rental market, a specific property, check it out, rentcast.io. Then DealCheck is actually a platform we had for a while. It's one of the most popular property analysis platforms, I believe, in North America right now. We've been doing it for about 5 years. And it's a property where you can analyze cash flow projections and investment returns on rental properties, flips, commercial buildings, multifamily properties, even wholesale deals. So it's kind of your all-in-one from, you know, it'll import all of the data for you from public records and even rent estimates like RentCast estimates and all of that, plug it in, give you your full analysis snapshot of the deal, and you can help you write offers with the offer calculator, do reports, like all that. It's a big platform, so there's a lot to do. So that's at dealcheck.io, or you can get the DealCheck mobile app for your iOS or Android device as well.
Wow. Those are two enormous undertakings. We don't have time to go into those today, but that's Yeah, kudos to you for getting those off the ground and you know, out there in the public, because that's I know that those are not small tasks to get those done.
Yeah, no, it's we've had great success and a lot of feedback, so maybe we can jump in and do another show or sometime with you specifically on those. But right now, you can, and by the way, you can start using them for free, right? So that, you know, there are some upgrade options for additional features, but rentcast.io, dealcheck.io, start using them for free. And if you guys would like to contact me directly, if you have questions on direct mail, you want to get that template, if hopefully the links are all in the show notes, but my direct email is anton@rentcast.io. So just shoot me an email. I love hearing from podcast listeners or just frankly anybody. And I'd love to hear if you do decide to do this direct mail approach that we talked about. I'd love to hear about it. Again, I've heard a few friends or just people I know that done it. They've had great success, but if you have tips to share, you did something different, let me know. It's, you know, I'll use it next time we do it.
Anton, I appreciate you sharing everything with our guests here today. This has been great and very helpful. I got just a quick few questions for you before we jump off. The same final four questions. If I gave you $20,000 to invest in real estate, what would you do with it and why?
You know, I would probably do the exact same thing we did back when our first property, which was house hacking a smaller multifamily. You know, $20,000 is not a lot of money, especially in like a city like San Diego, but owner-occupied financing, you can usually get away with a much lower down payment, and you can get a duplex or a triplex or even a quad for very little money down, live in one of the units, learn the ropes of real estate investing, right? You're right there. You can understand what buying a house is like, managing tenants, and then eventually you can move out, rent out the property completely, and they'll become your first investment property.
Awesome. Question number two, if you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Kind of goes against what you preach on the podcast, which is, you know, move to commercial and multifamily properties a little bit. But I would say one mistake I would say is don't be afraid to start small. I see a lot of folks, they go on these websites, they see, oh, I just bought a 100-unit apartment complex in Miami. Like, you know, we're making all this hundreds of thousands of cash flow, which is great. And I bet you those people probably didn't start by buying 100-unit apartment complexes, right? So don't be afraid to house hack as a small multifamily. Don't be afraid to just buy some single family rental properties. You know, their prices are cheaper. The chances of you're making a big mistake, a costly mistake, are less. And there's nothing wrong with starting there like we did, me and my wife, and then working yourself up to multifamily or commercial, because you can always sell your single family properties later. You know, chances are they'll appreciate it. By then, you'll be a much more experienced investor, and it'll be much easier for you to make those big deals like with commercial.
Right, right. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, I would say that the RentCast and the DealCheck platforms are really where we, you know, I put all my heart and soul and kind of expertise on what I learned to help other investors. Again, it's, you know, obviously we make a little money on these platforms, but really the goal for them has always been to provide the tools and the information to other investors to help them analyze properties, project their returns, project their rents, and basically help them be more successful at their investing careers.
Fantastic. And Anton, once again, if a listener want to get in touch with you, the best way to do that is...
So my direct email again is anton@rentcast.io. That's literally my inbox. I get and read every email. And if you want to check out just the RentCast and DealCheck platforms, you can do that at rentcast.io or dealcheck.io.
Awesome. Anton, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Sam. I had a great time. Looking forward to doing it again sometime.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.